Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the tumult of this crazy life. It's crazy. It's crazy out there.
It's getting a little worse, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of a scary time.
Yeah. We can get better while it gets worse. And that kind of, you know, the scary word leads us to our topic today. So this show was originally named after, I don't know, some people I think it's like a, you know, they jump in and think, oh, it's a marriage show, divine intimacy or something, you know, even more different or unusual. But it was originally named after the great work of Carmelite, I think he's a saint, Father Gabriel, Saint Mary Magdalene, and the book Divine Intimacy, which is the best book ever put into print that I'm aware of, that helps you to dive deep in spiritual theology throughout the year.
It's beautiful.
It is extraordinary work. Yeah. And it's organized according to the pre-conciliar calendar. So if you're in a TLM mass, it's easier to follow along than if you're in an ordinary form.
But somebody out there does a really cool little
guide.
Yeah. That I Googled. I looked
it's
for it.
It's Baronius Press.
Oh, okay.
It's the same company that publishes Divine Intimacy.
So you just print it off and you've got these little cards that show you what day it is and everything. So there's no need to worry.
So you can either follow in the ordinary form or the extraordinary form. So we're on the extraordinary form calendar today, and the topic is Divine Providence. So we're not going to read it to you, but Steffi and I read it last night. We're just talking about how we might apply it to our time. And I want to begin, unless you have something, Steph, that you want to begin with the reading of a scripture passage. Can I do that?
Well, sure. Can I open with the presence of God?
Yeah, please.
I love this. I love the way they set this up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just personally would love for us to start with the presence of God and then dive into it.
Okay, great.
I think it's beautiful.
It's great.
Okay. Oh my God, you order and dispose everything according to your own exalted purposes. Teach me to trust fully in your divine providence.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reading a scripture passage from Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, be quiet, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I just love this story.
I do too.
It's so illustrative of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we have.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think I heard our pastor talk about this that comes to mind is that it wasn't like they all had a long day, and Jesus didn't do what you normally do. Is what if you get still, you fall asleep. You like lean over and you I'm exhausted. I've been pouring myself out all day and I'm asleep. But he actually fluffed up a cushion.
Oh, yeah.
And he leaned over on it, and he chose, knowing that there's a squall coming. He knows that. He's God. He knows all things.
Yeah.
And he goes to sleep.
Like, right.
I belong to God the Father. The Father and I are one.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
The storm's going to rage, but I'm going to sleep because I'm tired.
Well,
I loved it.
And we know this is a setup, by the way.
Yeah.
I just noticed this as I was reading it. That day when evening came. So being out on the Sea of Galilee then, of course, there were no lights. Mm-hmm. The only thing you had would be torch lamps, that sort of thing. And so it's evening, and he's the one who initiates the boat ride. Mm-hmm. And he says, let's go to the other side, you know. So being out now, if you've never been to the Sea of Galilee, which we have a number of times now.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It is beautiful, but it's also not, it is a dangerous a body of water in storms. Like we rode on a boat and the roof had been partially ripped off not too long ago. And this is not a poorly constructed, you know, piece of equipment or boat. And the roof had been ripped off because of how fierce the winds are across the lake. So, and of course it's deep water. And, you know, if you ended up capsized out there, you would drown, easily drown. So on a human level, you know, there's a lot going on here that makes sense. But the point I want to make is Jesus knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Jesus initiates the boat ride. Jesus, probably with a little grin, says it's time to teach the disciples a lesson. I'm going to go to sleep. I am curious as to whether or not he was sleeping, because the gospel story is, of course, told from the human narrator's vantage point. And in their eyes, he looks to be sleeping. I'm wondering if he's just resting and waiting for them to, or was he really asleep? I will ask him.
I think he went to sleep.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's omnipresent. He knows all things.
Was he snoring, you think?
Probably.
Jesus would snore? I don't know.
That's not an effect of the fall.
It's not?
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, contrary to belief.
Okay. So of course, and then it says they entered in a furious squall. I like this translation. Came up and the waves broke over the boat. So the boat was nearly swamped. That means the boat was filling up with water. See, this is why I doubt Jesus was sleeping. It's a furious squall, and he would have been drenched. Everyone was drenched. If it says that it was nearly swamped means, you know, you have so much water in the thing, they're in trouble of sinking. So Jesus was in the stern, it says. And so the disciples are in a panic. And they woke him and said, don't you care if we drown? Mm-hmm. You know, so they had some sense that because I don't think this was a human question to another purely human person. Like,
yeah, because there's an accusatory kind of like, don't you care?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like
how can you rest through this?
Yeah. You're resting on that cushion. There's no way you can be asleep.
See, they do that. I'm with me on that.
And then, don't you care?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, and it's so interesting. I think this is fascinating. When you think about when people languish, when they struggle, when they're hurting in the storms of their life,
yeah,
they will often look to those that are closest to them and say, don't you care how much I'm suffering?
When of course they do that with God.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
When they
That's
don't...
what the disciples are doing.
Yeah.
I just think it's just amazing.
It's funny, as an interesting side note, Martha did about the same.
Care? She's not helping
She's not helping me. So don't you care? So that means they have a perception that he can do something about the storm. Now, I don't know if it means that he should be bailing water out of the boat. That would be one expression of care. Mm-hmm. But another expression of care would be to stop the storm. But because they're surprised, my instinct is the don't you care is more on a human level, or you're our leader and you're asleep, we're in peril, but not this really deep conviction that Jesus is God and he's in control. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because I think otherwise he wouldn't have rebuked them, you know, because it goes on. He got up and rebuked the wind and said, shut up, cállate, my favorite Spanish word, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you afraid? This is a problem. He's trying to get them to kind of look at the situation and examine it and deal with. So your fear is displaced.
Yeah.
Why is it there?
He really immediately goes to that.
Yeah.
he shuts down the storm and immediately goes to, why are you afraid?
Right. And that's a healing question.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a, I used to think of it as a rebuke, but I think it's, in a way it is, but I think there's a deeper reason for that question.
I think man to man, there is a bit of a like, wake up.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid? Pay mm-hmm. attention to this.
Right.
Make note of what's happened, you know, mm-hmm. what you just went through. Mm-hmm. I just think is so super important, because so often we're being rocked by the storm and we're not doing some of the internal work, the discernment to go, okay, why is this shocking me so much? Why is this rocking me? Why am I afraid? Why am I anxious? Why am I angry? Why am I reacting? Why am I lashing out? Why am I, you know, inebriating, you know, whatever it is, whatever my reaction is to that current storm, that current squall, that difficulty, that pain, why am I doing that?
Yeah. And it's a good question from God to us.
Right.
When we're in the midst of struggle, why are you afraid? And then he said, have you no faith?
Right.
Where is your faith?
Right.
Now, what would their faith be in? Of course, would be in God. Mm-hmm. The object of their faith is God. They're Jews, and that's an easy.
And him.
And him. Well, he is God. Yeah. And he, but yeah. I don't, you know, they don't fully realize that at this stage in their walk with Jesus, in my mm-hmm. opinion. I think it comes in its fullness after Pentecost. But of course, after the resurrection. You know, of course. So when we get back from the break, we're going to continue to process this problem of not seeing God, and how can we see God through both the wisdom of Father Gabriel, St. Mary Magdalene, divine providence, and his divine intimacy, but also through scripture and the story of Jesus on the boat. So if you're in the storm, if you're in a storm and you're having trouble seeing God, stick with us when we get back from the break. We'll help you, give you some insights on how you can see his presence and find his peace in the midst of the storm. Does that sound good to you?
Yep.
All right.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will, titled Finding Peace in the Storm, with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about how to see God, divine providence. How to see his working. Did you have a...
Yeah, I wanted to start with this, because I think it kind of segues into what we all go through. From Divine Intimacy, number 239, it says, if certain situations seem to us incomprehensible, if we cannot see the reason why particular circumstances and creatures make us suffer, it is because we do not see the place they occupy in the plan of divine providence, in which everything is ordered for our ultimate good. Yes, even suffering itself is ordered for our good, and God, who is infinite goodness, neither wills nor permits it except for this purpose. We believe this in theory, but we easily forget it in practice, so much so that when we find ourselves in obscure, painful situations which upset or interfere with our plans and wishes, we are disturbed and our lips quickly formulate the anguished question, why does God permit this?
Why does God permit this?
Right. Do you not care that we are perishing?
Right. So there's another translation that's interesting to this passage, and it says, do you still have no faith? Mm-hmm. And I haven't read the Greek to verify that specific kind of emphasis, but assuming it's a good translation, why would he use that kind of language? Well, because they've been with him.
They've seen miracles.
Yeah.
They've heard his voice. Yeah. They've been in his presence. They've felt his grace,
yeah,
and his power and his peace.
And the problem is their conversion is not yet as deep as it will become later on.
Yeah. You know what this does for me is
what?
It gives me a lot of compassion for people
who are suffering and kind of don't see God and just see the pain and all that.
Or just don't see God yet.
Yeah.
You know, yet.
Yet, yeah.
They don't yet believe because they have not allowed him into their heart, or they haven't encountered him yet.
Yeah.
And I think it should give us great compassion.
Yeah.
Because here the apostles are, they're with him. Mm-hmm. They're traveling with him. They're watching the miracles. They're experiencing his power and his grace. There's no way they couldn't feel something different and remarkable
about him.
Or they wouldn't be
following him around either.
Right. They dropped everything to follow him. Right. And yet he's saying, do you still not believe?
Yeah.
You know, what's the barrier? What are you holding back on? What are you protecting? What is that wall around your heart?
Yeah.
What are you saying? Oh, he can have all of me, but not that.
Yeah.
Right. What is it that you need to lay down?
I like your emphasis on compassion, because for me, seeing God, so I believed in God far before I saw him, if that makes sense. And what I mean by seeing him is recognizing his presence in the midst of suffering, instead of going, where are you? Why aren't you helping? Going, okay, you're here. I see you. Okay, I'm going to rest in this. I know this is your will. You know, that transition between where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you helping me? To I'm at peace in the midst of the storm, for me was a decades long journey. And so when you talk about compassion, now, why was it a decades long journey for me? Because I had so much trauma in my childhood, and it was so deeply ingrained in me that my life was to be a series of near destructive, you know, events that would totally wreck my heart, totally wreck my mind. So that as I even as I was moving out of that in my faith, I still had this gloom. In fact, when we were initially together, I was still fighting this battle.
Oh, it was very evident.
Oh, and we should tell everyone we were married 2 days ago now. How long? Weren't married 2 days ago, but for how long?
17 years.
So 17 years ago when we were married,
yeah,
I was still wrestling with this sort of sense of, when's the next disaster going to hit?
Yeah.
You know, and so I had a kind of negative disposition, even though I was a person of gratitude, a person of deep faith. I had been a Christian, you know, since I was in my 20s, early 20s. So it wasn't like I wasn't in fervent the whole time, wasn't walking with the Lord. But it took me a long time to figure out that Jesus was in my boat and he wasn't really sleeping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't napping. He knew what it took me a long time to recognize he sees and he's present and he cares. Those are kind of fundamental revelations. Mm-hmm. But then that it's all for a good purpose. That's another level of maturity where you recognize that.
And that's interesting because I think that certainly speaks to the people who are walking with the Lord, and they're going through the trials and tribulations of life, and they're going, why is this permitted, right?
Yeah.
So much suffering. I can speak to the other side of that equation, which is interesting because I'm the prodigal child. Like, I'm the one who said, I want things my way. Give me everything. I'm going to go do my own thing. And I really did. I did my own thing for years.
Yeah.
And then this squall, talk about a squall, a storm. My life in 48 hours was spinning out of control. Yeah. I mean, spinning out of control. I was in the throes of the divorce. My job was ending. My daughter was having grand mal seizures. Mm-hmm. Everything was falling apart.
Well, and Marcus was.
Yeah, it was struggling. He was in, you know, just caught up in, in the whole cyclone of all that. And I'm just going, what is happening? And like, there was nothing to hold on to because I didn't even know to cry out to God at that point.
But you did.
Not until later.
Okay.
It was on the other side of that.
About how long?
It was about a year.
So you lived in the mire, in the muck,
yeah,
in the anxiety for a year, and then you finally went to that church.
Right, right. Because what happened, I mean, the Lord sends this huge storm, wrecks me, wrecks my family, wrecks my life, and then I go just spinning out of control.
You just said something in a particular way I think you might want to clarify. For the
he allowed it. I mean, it was my own sin.
But he didn't. He didn't. Yeah, he didn't wreck.
He permits it, or he allows it.
Right.
Right.
The sin is permitted. It's totally human, of human origin.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the midst of that, there was also natural things going on.
Sure.
My daughter getting sick, the job issue, which was not my sin. That wasn't my sin. My daughter's illness. That wasn't
not your sin. Yeah.
That wasn't my sin. The brokenness of the marriage. Oh, absolutely my sin.
Yeah.
Right. So it was like all. It really brought me to my knees. But the thing is I didn't turn to him at that point. I kept crawling along the floor.
In the mire.
In the mire. I'm going all the way to the pigs.
You were at the pigsty going, I don't know. Well, you probably didn't have a sense of how to get out, but you wanted to.
I wanted things to be okay. So what I did was I went into self-reliance. And it came in like, okay, I can't depend on anybody.
Right.
Therefore, I got to fix this.
And that whole, that crashed in a year. Then.
Oh, Lord, that was one mistake after another, you know. So
the Lord blessed you with incredibly difficult circumstances to bring you to conversion.
Yes, he really did.
Right.
He really did. So I can look at this. I can look at this passage and say sometimes, you know, especially when we pray for our loved ones and we watch them languish and suffer. Some of us need that.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan needed that. I needed that. We needed to come to our absolute end to be able to
we have to go.
Yeah.
So in the last minutes here, I want to make sure we get to, okay, how do you get out? How do you begin to see God, which gives you peace, and then follow him?
We cry out.
You cry out is number one. It's a prayer he always answers.
Help me.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me.
Help me get to the sacraments, get to confession, get to as frequent a Eucharist as possible. That will begin to give you wisdom and insight into the things of God that you can't just do on your own intellectual capacity.
Yeah, it lets the grace in. You know, my prayer was, I can't do this anymore. If you're really there, take over my life and I'll do whatever you ask. It changed everything.
We met shortly thereafter and married, but real practical stuff. It's, we've got to get our intellect properly oriented to the truth that God is present and at work in everything. That took me decades of reading and rereading Sacrament of the Present Moment. Recently, I wrote a book for this purpose, for people in the storm, because there are more people in more storms than ever. It's called Finding Peace in the Storm. You can find it at spiritualdirection.com. It's primarily the text of St. Alphonsus Liguori. But we've got to get our intellects rightly ordered to the truth, which changes us, because it's Jesus is truth. We got to get our intellects rightly ordered to what is actually happening. So we have to invest ourselves in reading and studying and meditating on these truths that God is in control. He's not truly sleeping in the boat. And that God is in control, and that everything is allowed or caused for our salvation. Mm-hmm. So those are the two secrets, I think. Well, there's more. So it's Eucharist, reconciliation, intellectual, spiritual reading, and daily mental prayer. I think those, if I had to reduce it down, if I was to add one more, it'd be the daily examine, which helps us to be awake. If you want to learn about all of this, we have free courses at apostolyva.org for all of these things to help you, and even finding peace in the storm. But you wanted, before we checked out today,
I want to end this end because with... I think this is just so incredible. And again, this is from Divine Intimacy number 239. Nothing exists without a reason. Nothing in the world happens by chance. Everything, without the least exception, is part of the magnificent plan of divine providence. In this plan, every creature, even the lowest, has its definite place, its end, and its value. Every event, even the most insignificant, has been foreseen from all eternity and regulated even to the slightest, to its slightest detail. In this plan, as vast as it is wonderful, all creatures, from the most sublime, such as the angels, to the humblest, like the dewdrops and the blades of grass, are called upon to contribute to the harmony and good of the whole. So be not afraid, have courage, be humble, call out to God, and follow him, and do whatever he asks you to do.
So, simple list: Eucharist, sacrament of reconciliation, daily mental prayer, intellectual formation in this truth, finding peace in the storm, sacrament of the present moment, Jacques Philippe's searching for and maintaining peace. Those are the best texts on the subject, in my opinion. And the daily examine. And if you want help with all of this, that's why the Apostolic VA community exists. Free courses on all that stuff. Why don't you take us out?
Okay. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.